sounds good.
Okay. All right. So I think basically the rap that folks have gotten is basically the first generation of SLAM, which is important and is something to be, you know, looked at in terms of folks who are interested in forming organizations. Now, how do you go about them? How do they form? I come out of a generation that came after that. So some 4 or 5 years had gone on after this big upsurge in 95. And basically started school and went to Hunter in 1999. So by then, I believe the organization had sort of hit a fork in the road, or it hit a crossroads, where you are in a radical organization, your sense of horizon has gone on almost infinitely. So that there were efforts to sort of figure out what to do after you're a student and after you're a student organizer, which is not necessarily compatible with building a long-term organization on a campus. So SLAM had basically split into, I believe the terminology was SLAM B, right, which were the folks who wanted to go outside of the campus, start building other organizations, things like tenants organizations and high school organizations. And then there was the SLAM on-campus crew, which were still invested in particularly Hunter College. And Hunter College, I should sort of, I think, say briefly, I think one of the reasons why SLAM stayed at Hunter College as opposed to staying long-term at City College, it sort of dies off, comes back, and at Queens College, they take on new organizational forms. At Brooklyn College, they take on even more different organizational forms. The reason why SLAM stayed at Hunter College, I believe, was Hunter has a certain cosmopolitan character by virtue of where it's situated. It pulls people in from Queens, it pulls people in from the Bronx, it pulls people in from Brooklyn. And you have a smaller subsection that come in from East Harlem. So that the mixture on the campus was much more, I think, heterogeneous. It was not like City College, where it's primarily black and Latino. It's much more, I don't like using the word diverse, but it was actually more diverse in terms of what the nationalities were. So that the way that the politics were arranged was interesting, in that the SLAM had sort of subsisted in the years after the SLAM B folks had left as a sort of de facto rainbow coalition, a united front of the mostly people of color clubs that had existed on the campus and had a real solid base there. So to return to the personal, I come in around 1998. When was the Alo Verde came down in 2000 or so?
It was going on from 99 into 2000.
Into 2000. So that I come in 1999. The first thing I get was the Alo Verde comes down. And there's this organization on the campus that has student government, right? And is using student government to bring people to build a demonstration and to jailbreak the campus, right? Folks walked out. There was some pretty fierce stuff that happened on campus, and then it shifted up down to 14th Street, and they ended up going to the City Hall area and stopping traffic at Brooklyn Bridge. Very important because, you know, for myself, I was, I would say, a left liberal at the time. And I think the Diallo verdict around the city had pierced this notion that you could deal with Rudolph Giuliani and his types with kid gloves. It was really about the sort of velvet glove that Rudolph Giuliani had up until that time had come off. People were getting beaten up. People were getting trashed. Diallo himself had been shot up not too far from where I lived. So that there was this time of ferment that had happened. And then there were things like in the air, like Seattle had happened in 99, things like the R2K protests were happening, the Republican convention protests were happening. There was this big wave of the big, what I would say, the mobilization protests that happened after Seattle happened. So basically, I walk into a student government office where first thing that you see is Malcolm X like this. With a big quote that says, "I don't like people getting peace prizes before the war is over." And that really hit a chord with me. So that when the on-campus crew was getting organized, it was mostly getting organized to try to keep the student government in the hands of people who were politically good. And not just opportunists who wanted to enhance a resume. So myself, folks know Tamika Beyer from SLAM, but was a fierce sister who kept me on my toes. A number of other, Joseph Phelan, who's now at the Miami Workers Center and doing good work there. We were sort of a core unit for a while in student government of activists who were going into student government.
If you don't mind, we would always call them the next generation. You know, it's tricky, but this, we were like, this is the next generation. This, you
know. I mean, which was an interesting dynamic. And I'll be, I think, I have to say openly, the generational shift was sharp. Folks who had gone through a much more, I think, thorough radicalization process that had gone from head to toe, we weren't that generation. We were a generation that sort of accepted that, well, there's really high tuition at this campus for what it actually offers. So that there was some conciliatory aspect to us that we needed to sort of almost purify ourselves of before we really got out there. And then in 2001, the towers fell. And I remember that being an experience where at Hunter College campus, because it has this cosmopolitan character, we had to deal with, for lack of a better term, like both Zionism and rabid anti-Muslim sentiment. And I come from a family I'm not Muslim myself, but my father was. And what I would say is that was our first real experience with the enemy in our faces, because we had to deal with graffiti all the time. We had to deal with an Israeli club that was sort of ready to sort of pounce on anything that the Muslim Student Association was doing or saying. And it was a really intense time. Around 2002, you have the transition to the Bloomberg years, which I think was a disarming experience for a lot of the left, mainly because Bloomberg was not Giuliani. He was not a race baiter. He was not openly engaged in racial attacks. He was much more slick in that he bought off a lot of his opposition. Mm-hmm. And here we were, an organization that were hard asses about it. And we weren't going to accept, you know, even if Bloomberg were a Democrat, we'd probably be fine with it. And I think what happened was that Hunter sort of remained a motor of militancy as we had a number of fairly small tuition increases compared to what happened in 95. And also, we saw the real shift in the campuses, in that we saw one year we would have friends who were, you know, nietas and involved in, like, the real street life. And then the next year it would be, well, this honors college starts coming up. And we see a different sort of student on campus. And without sort of engaging in a vulgar class war politics that says that these folks are irredeemable, they were co-optable. The administration was able, I think, to take a certain section of the honor students and turn them into a battering ram with which to bombard us. And the particular thing was, in my view, there was a liberal way of diverting a lot of the wave that had come from the 95 struggle, which was about access, right? So you get things like, well, first of all, Jennifer Rabb gets appointed. And Jennifer Rabb is slick, but she is a Giuliani appointee. Giuliani had basically manipulated the process of appointing presidents to get his former Landmarks Commissioner made president of our college, a person with no education experience whatsoever, now earning $500,000, by the way. And Jennifer Rabb was slick. She brought in a new dean of diversity on campus. And when you get into this question of diversity, well, what kind of diversity do you mean? In particular, what they meant was keep political conflict off the campus. Whereas we were about, we live in this world, man. Like, we're not, it's not as convenient as you can take those political conflicts off the campus. And one of the particular shots that had been fired a warning shot, where a Palestinian person who had been working in our office, who had a nice framed poster of the pre-Nakba Palestine, complete with the names of the villages that had been ethnically cleansed, was put under attack by this dean of diversity, right? Mm-hmm. You're attacking these Israelis. You know, of course they were agitating. They were attempting to start something. I think the culmination of this was the election of 2004 for student government, in which there was a clear indication that 80th Street, Central CUNY Administration, had said to Jennifer Reb, enough of these radicals in student government, man. We had gotten involved around 2003 in anti-war protests. We had taken over the president's office because she was a known quantity as a Giuliani supporter, as a reactionary, so we took over the office. And there was a real fear that we were going to take it to the next slide, to the next step. So by 2003 and then 2004, the administration had started to take a number of disparate elements. Zionists, honor students, a couple of others, to basically present themselves as the legitimate slate in the elections. And, by the way, there was a manipulative move where they had changed the elections process from a voting booth, a private voting booth, in which there was a cordoned off area and your vote was up to you, which we always observed, which we never engaged in any sort of form of electoral fraud. We always had observers to make sure that things were clean and above board. And they shifted from that process to internet voting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you have an honors college where everybody gets issued a laptop, you are giving the means of the vote to a specific class of people who can then use those laptops to gather votes. So there was, in my view, an electoral fraud committed in 2004, and people are still complaining about it, by the way, which is interesting because I think people are still kicking around this idea of when are we going to take back student government. But I just think that, in particular, we have seen that the enemy is not just antagonistically your enemy. The enemy is also philanthropically your enemy. Your enemy buys off your supporters, buys off people. And we have yet to sort of work away, I think, in order to try to undo that. And I think that it will probably take a real nakedly reactionary move by the administration to really radicalize the campus in the same way. I think for the time being, what needs to happen is the folks who are up for the program are the folks who are going to have to be sort of nurtured, which is why I'm in Students for a Democratic Society and why it's a club and not the student government. We have yet to sort of engage that sort of politics because we're still trying to figure out, well, who are these students, who are the good honors college students, the ones who are really sort of thinking about how they're going to serve the people with this education versus who are the careerists who are looking to enhance their standing. So I think that's where we're at, and I think it's a strange position to be in, the last of your kind, in so to speak.
Okay, story not yet finished.
Thank you.